And as we mentioned at the top, blockchain is in a variety of areas, financial services being one of the more obvious ones. The hope by many in the sector is to see it grow in a faster manner over the next few years. Angus DeKrepney is leader of the financial services blockchain and distributed infrastructure strategy sector at Ernst & Young, and he joins us here at our table. Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thank you. I'm asking this of everybody, and for you, the best way to kind of describe blockchain to the public is how?
It's distributed ledger is a word that's used, or two words, that's used a lot to describe it. It's thinking of it as a record of a trusted record of all activity amongst participants in a group, where is the best way to think about it. And you know, distributed ledger is one expression that's often used for it because it brings that understanding of an accounting ledger, which everyone can agree on. So when you have a system or a technology or something that's recording all activity that has happened between participants and everyone can trust in that record, then what you do with that going forward gives a lot of has a lot of potential.
Is the trust in the security maybe the biggest piece to this for a lot of companies out there today just because of the nature of the internet right now?
Yeah, it's, you know, the internet, you can its greatest strength is you can share and distribute information as many times as you want. Its greatest weakness, if you're talking about digital assets such as back 20 years ago, or a little less than 20 years, but music sharing, you can share it multiple times. What this gives is, you know, when you can put trust in a system that you don't need any trusted party for, it allows a lot of things going on beyond that. Now, Bitcoin was the first instance of this, and that allowed people to move around value without needing any sort of financial infrastructure for that.
Right.
The trick is, and where a lot of companies are trying to work out, that sounds great to have that trusted backbone that we can all base off.
Right.
Now what do we do with it? How can we leverage that into our current businesses and business processes?
But is it still a system or a philosophy that people it's to a degree new to the point where companies are maybe not 100% invested in it right now. I read an article where you were interviewed. It talked about that this was something that you had to learn about over the last several years as well, correct?
I think we're probably all learning about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to think that I understand the area fairly well. You know, we've got a lot of access to all of our clients and helping them through all of this. I think the challenge that a lot of our clients or a lot of people in industry are coming with is looking at this technology and trying to fit it into your old business.
Right.
In the same way that social media and early press on the internet, you know, it was provided for free. These were services that were provided for free. Now we take that for granted now. But that was not how business operated 25 years ago. You charge for access.
Yeah.
And, you know, and business models change. So if we're looking at using this technology and saying, hey, this is something we do now, we're finding it inefficient, maybe this new technology will help. Simply changing is shifting in the new technology may not be really all, you know, you're probably going to need to do more than that.
Right.
And what we're probably going to see, like with the internet, yes, it changed old business processes, but probably what we're going to see is the opening up of many more businesses and products and markets, which we didn't have before. And I think that's probably the bigger area to grow. And that's a bit harder for people to visualize because it's creating something that wasn't there rather than just changing what we already have.
Angus DeKrepney from Ernst & Young joining us here at the table. We're at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City as you're listening to Knowledge at Wharton on Sirius XM 111, business radio powered by the Wharton School. So blockchain helps Ernst & Young how on a day-to-day basis?
We provide, we help our clients understand the space and have a look at what is the right strategy to approach it. Often our clients will either say, we see this as a strategic priority, understanding what we can do with this or migrating into this sort of new infrastructure. Right. We just don't really know how to go about it. Or they may say, hey, this supply chain part of our business is significant. We have these four or five directions that we could go with it. We just kind of need to evaluate what's the best way or what our business process looks like in that new environment. Right. So we help them with that. We build pilots and we build tools that they can leverage for that. Yeah. And one thing that I think when people are listening now, we've recently developed an identity platform that one of our clients can use because they needed a particular way in which they could identify and risk assess their customers for this new product that they were developing. So right. We helped build an identity system that's now live that can be used not only for this particular client, but can be expanded broader across the Australian market where people can get what's called self-sovereign identification. So you at the moment, you have your passport, your driver's license, that identifies you. This is something that rather than requiring your driver's license or passport, you can hang on to a particular digital identity that you can pass around and you can own and that you're responsible for. And we've incorporated that into this system.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all develops, especially something like that, because as more and more people travel from country to country, being able to be there and being able to, you know, cross borders and access in an easier fashion is something that I think a lot of people would like to be able to do, so you don't have to wait an hour or two going into a country.
Well, absolutely, and it's not even just that. That is for those of us lucky enough to be able to get or hang on to a passport, right? Yeah. You look at the current refugee crisis. Many of them are, many of them are leaving their country and may have had to leave without their documents, or even if they had documents. How do how do countries accepting refugees validate that those documents are real? And let alone the billion or so, I can't remember the number now, that don't have access to that documentation.
Right.
Now, if you can, and this is one of the things where we would like to see this identity solution of ours get to, and I think there are a lot of people working on this, but we're working in the current environment where you require some customer documents to prove that identification. We've bootstrapped that identity platform for that. Ultimately, where we see the identity solution for blockchain going is where it's reputation based. So, I'm Angus because people told you that I'm Angus. You haven't seen my passport. You haven't seen my driver's license.
Right.
But there are
enough
people here telling you that I'm Angus.
Right.
You can use that sort of reputation to build people's identities. And on a blockchain where there isn't a central party that's controlling this data, it's in this independent ecosystem, there's a lot of power in being able to establish, there is the potential to establish that identity where anyone can own their identity and take it wherever they want. The ability to bring in billions of people into the financial system, incorporate billions of people into the technology network, I think has huge value.
Where does your concern over hacking come in with all of this? Because I think a lot of people, when they're talking about putting more data and information into an online or a different type of process, they're concerned about hacking.
Yeah, and this will always be a problem. And one thing to highlight as well, that blockchain is one layer in this solution, right?
Yeah.
If you try to stick all of this data onto a blockchain, you could do it, but for technical reasons that I won't get into, it's not the most efficient way of doing it.
Yeah.
So there are ways that can be managed, but that's why from the start, any solution has got to be designed with that security in mind.
Right.
And you know, anything that in a blockchain environment where things can run and people can prove that it can only run in this particular way,
right,
is the strength of it. If you do it the wrong way, you can't stop it.
So there are some limitations to blockchain in terms of what you can do with it, at least for right now.
I think there are trade-offs with any technology,
okay,
right? And what you get from blockchain with regards to the trust, you lose in computational efficiency. Now, with the internet in the early days, the early days of the web, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, people were saying that TCP/IP is not an efficient way for sending around video,
yeah,
or sending around real-time communication.
Right.
So people looked at other protocols like ATM, asynchronous transfer mode, which they saw was a better way of prioritizing traffic. Over time, bandwidth increased, and that was no longer really an issue. So ATM was not really needed.
Right.
Some of the constraints with the technology will either be addressed as things evolve by either things like increased computing power or capacity, or by people developing additional tools to address cybersecurity concerns, to address privacy concerns. And that's part of, you know, the web. The web as it is today wouldn't be what it is without, you know, JavaScript and without the browser and without many other, without many other foundational technologies that were built on top of that core of, you know, networking and TCP/IP that was developed.
Quickly, that'd be interesting getting your opinion on Bitcoin just in general, because it's obviously something that people know about. They've obviously heard about it. It hasn't been as quick, I think, to be adapted or accepted by a lot of people, maybe more so in the corporate environment than it has in the general public. Where do you see that going in the future?
People should be very careful to rule out Bitcoin. It is the most powerful, in certain ways, the most powerful computing environment in the world.
Okay.
If we had a digital agreement that we wanted to prove that was validated at a certain point, no more secure place than to put it on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Okay.
But there are a lot of other, you know, what I alluded to before, a lot of other foundational measures that are needed to really bring that to everything that it can be, including, say, identity. You bring in an effective digital identity and combine that with Bitcoin.
Right.
All of the compliance worries that restricted it from really taking off early get resolved fairly quickly, and retail payments, you know, in theory, could change overnight. So it's there's a lot more to it than just the currency.
Right.
We feel that, you know, this coming year there's going to be more interest and more interest gaining over the coming years in public blockchains such as Bitcoin.
Great to have you here today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank
you
for having me.
Greatly appreciate it.